I was praying for some people, and and the Lord, calls this child by the child's true name. And so I said to the parent, I said, "Did you know this is your name, your child's name?" He said, "No." I said, "But this is the name, this is the true name." As soon as I said that, the child made contact. "Somebody knows my real name." And when all these years I've prayed for that child, and the child has not made eye contact. But as soon as I called his true name, the child made eye contact and will not take his eyes off of me, and looks at the mom and looks at me. Wow, somebody knows my name. Finally, finally, somebody knows my name. God knows you. Amen? He knows you. Don't fool yourself and think God doesn't know what's happening with me. God knows exactly what's happening with you. Praise the Lord. Even when it looks like God didn't see you, he saw you. This passage of scripture I'm about to speak to you from for the next few minutes, I've spoken from for quite a few times. It's found in the book of Acts, the third chapter. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being," I want you to notice that, "being the ninth hour," being the ninth hour. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. Let me jump ahead and tell you right now that the days of carrying you are ending today in the name of Jesus. Somebody's day that you've been carried, you've had to depend on everybody to get you where you need to go, that day is ending now, because God has a new decree. It's a new season, it's a new moment, it's a new now, and God is speaking a new word over your life and saying your two legs are going to carry you from now on. Nobody's going to carry you and drop you, because I declare a decree over your life this day that I see you. I see you. I see you. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." Isn't that amazing? He's laid daily at the gate called Beautiful, but there was nothing beautiful about his life. What irony. What irony. "And they placed him there at the gate Beautiful to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' Gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered
with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. There's no way I can do justice to this passage of scripture. This should take me a long time to preach. But in the next few minutes, I want to get to the core of the matter, that which God wants us to hear right now. I want you to receive this in a very prophetic sense. Hallelujah. This man was lame, the Bible says, from his mother's womb. We don't know how his lameness came about, whether it was a genetic disorder. We don't know what happened. But we know that he was lame from his mother's womb. That means that he didn't have the capacity to function in the normalcy that every other person should have experienced. That meant that being born lame meant that people looked at him as a cursed child. Because if you were lame, you were not allowed in the temple. You could not come in to worship God in the temple. But there's something so dramatically distinctive about this man, because he did not allow anything to stop him from pursuing after God. You say, what do you mean by that? Everything, because this man's actions at the end proved where his heart has always been. It was not the asking of alms. That's not where his heart was. His heart was inside that temple. He came to the beautiful gate. That was a very strategic thing to do. In a very natural sense, it was a strategic thing to do, because everybody that that wanted to see the beauty of the temple, they will have to come through the beautiful gate. This got to be the most beautiful, gate in the whole place. So he positioned himself at the beautiful gate, because people are going to come through that place. And when they come through that place, they're going to see him and his sorry self. And they're going to thank God. Thank God, I'm not like him. Oh God, I give you praise here. But it didn't matter to him what their reason of giving to him was. He just wanted the money. But more than the money, he wanted something else. He wanted the inside there. And at the beautiful gate, he watched people go in and come out. And he couldn't go in. And the reason he could not go in is because of the God those people are serving inside there. Inside there, they are worshiping Jehovah. They are exalting him, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here he is, born like this. Nobody dropped him. He was just born like this. Can you imagine this child, born like this? When other people are crawling, he couldn't crawl. The abuses that he may have received from his father or mother, or even siblings. What's wrong with you? Why can't you this? Why can't you that? Why can't you this? And why can't you that? When other people are walking He's learning to crawl, pull himself. Hey, this is what you were supposed to do years ago. You shouldn't be doing that anymore. You should be walking. I can't. Why can't you? There's no strength in my legs. But you got legs. What do you mean, no strength in your legs? People can look at you and make judgments about what you should do or what you should be, but don't know your story. Because there's no story to tell. There's no story like Mephibosheth, the nurse dropped him. There's no story. You are born like this. And if you are born like this, you must be an evil child. Now, how does this person that's looked as a curse get people to love him enough to carry him? He learned how to be a good, nice person. Loving, caring. You know, people allow themselves to become bitter because of their problems. I got this problem, and you are angry at the world, angry at everybody. And then when people stay away from you, you say, you see, this proves it. No, not this man. He decides, I'm going to be the nicest person I can be. I'm going to be as caring and generous as I possibly can. I'm going to do everything to make people smile. Because every single day of his life, they took him, the Bible says daily, they took him to the beautiful gate. Somebody carried him when he was 5, when he was 10, when he was 20, when he was 30. I don't know how old this man was. I think the Bible tells us somewhere, but 40? Okay. It's in there, Acts 3. He's there, lame, been carried. One day Jesus came by the beautiful gate and walked past him. Is this not the guy that heals everybody? Is this not the one that sets the captives free? The one who gives sight to the blind and makes the cripple walk? Jesus just walked past him. Ah! Can you imagine people coming by and say, something's really wrong with you. Something is very wrong with you. Even Jesus comes by and walks by you and heal you. You've been here. You're a bad man. All these comedic acts and nice smile that you're giving us, there's something wrong. We're not going to say, something's wrong with you. Another time, Jesus comes by and goes through. He's still there, not healed. Other people have testimonies, but he doesn't have a testimony. And how dare Peter and John come to him after Jesus is dead? They come to him and they say, look on us. This guy looks, expecting to get some silver or some gold. And they say, silver and gold we don't have, but what we do have we give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That's when I want to say, take a hike, man. Take a hike right now. The Jesus that came through here did not heal me. He is now dead. Now, in his name, you're going to heal me. Get out of here. Don't waste my time. Don't tell me about Jesus. There's no answer in Jesus. He didn't heal me. He didn't deliver me. He didn't set me free. My life is still a mess. But no, this guy still will not embrace an offense. It didn't matter what was happening. He's not going to allow himself to be offended by anything or by anyone, by any circumstance. Nothing was going to cause him to lose heart in believing that inside that temple, he was going to go in there. I'm going to come in here. I'm going to sit here at the gate of beautiful because something beautiful is going to happen to me today. And when that day finished, he said, okay, it's tomorrow. I'm going to sit there. How long should you wait for the miracle that you expect in God to produce in your life? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. You believe that this mountain shall be removed and do not doubt in your heart that those things which you say shall come to pass, you shall have what you say. As long as I believe. Because that's one thing God wants. The one thing that truly pleasures God is faith. It says without faith it's impossible to please him. You can't please God without faith. In faith, it's about you and I connecting with the reality that God is God and that your circumstance is not God. My circumstance is not my story. My story is about what God can do with an impossible situation. Oh, so you call me a cursed person. Well, Jesus became a curse for me so that I can be the blessing of God. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how bad your story is, God can bring something good out of your mess. That's a message. That's a message God wants to produce out of your situation that will cause men to wonder about the goodness of God. Oh, the people wondered and were amazed only because they saw that the person that they called cursed was really blessed. And that it was never too late for him. He did not lose heart. He believed. He stayed focused. Are you focused? Or are you a wanderer? Just wander. Well, I've been waiting so long. It's not going to happen. I've been waiting so long. It's not going to happen. Well, I've been waiting so long. It's not going to happen. Watch this. The Bible says, concerning this man, that as he stayed there and Peter talked to him and said, silver and gold we do not have, but what we do have we give unto you. Rise, he said, and walk. And you will think. He immediately sprang up and started walking. But no. He's still there. Still the same way he was. The word had been spoken, but he's still there. So, Peter gives him a hand, a helping hand. He hands up. And the man did something that a lame man should not do. Something began happening in his legs. And the Bible says he leaped. Someone say leaped. He leaped. Now, to leap, two things need to happen. First thing that needs to happen is that you have to bear down, put weight. He's going to put weight on what used to be weak. He was going to put weight now on that which should be hurting. Put weight, push down on that which couldn't help him in the past. And then propel himself up. Because that's the only way you're going to leap. I've been doing this for years now. I've been double daring everybody to leap without pushing down first. It's not going to happen. Mm-mm. Not leaping. You can do a lot of things, but you're not going to leap without pushing down first. That means the man believed the word. Even though his circumstance said nothing had changed, he believed the word. The word was spoken that I can rise and I can walk, but he did something that they did not tell him to do. He leaped. I don't know if you're hearing what I'm talking about. They said, rise up and walk. Yeah? Rise up and walk. They did not say, leap. I believe what you said to me. And the proof of the fact that I believe what you said to me is, I believe. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody's about to leap. Hallelujah. Somebody's about to do something that you are not expected to do. You are not even instructed to do. But you know that if you believe what you were told to do, that you should do this. If I'm going to walk, these knees must carry me. And I'm leaping. Hallelujah. I am leaping. Praise the Lord. And to prove that his heart was about in there, going inside the temple, and that it was not about money, that his heart was not about the alms that he was going to receive, but about being in the house of God, worshiping God, magnifying God. The first thing he did when he got healed was not run back home and tell everybody out there about the miracle that he received. The first thing he did was go inside the temple with the disciples. That's the first thing he did. Your first act tells God what's really important to you. Tells God. That's why the first fruit is so important to God. Because when you come into the year and you say, God, thank you for this new year. I am bringing the first fruit to you. You're telling God that you believe that he's going to take care of the rest of your year for you. I believe you, God. I believe you. Why do I travel? I travel because of the instruction of the Lord. I travel to minister the word of God because I believe God. I go because God has instructed me to do so. Because I know that God is the answer to the questions and the issues that people face. But I do so most of all because I trust God. He said, I'm the builder of my church, and the gates of hell, the government of hell, shall not prevail over that church. So, if he is the builder, if he is the protector, if he is the one who owns it, then I can boldly follow the instruction he's given to me and give him my all. If the purpose was money, I will not be in the ministry. Well, there was a time when I didn't want anything to do with the ministry because it was all about money. I'm not going to preach the gospel because pastors are broke. I'm not going to do that. And I wasted 2 years arguing with God about ministry and just because of finances. But then when God captivated my heart and it was no longer the money, then it didn't matter anymore. Money or no money, I trust God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? So nobody can bribe me or intimidate me to preach anything other than the word of God. Hello? If it's the word of God, that's what I'm going to preach. If God says this, that's what I'm going to say. Because my faith is on him. What is your faith attached to? What is it that the enemy can come and connect to in your life that will cause you to walk away from God? Does the enemy have something to blackmail you with? Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, maybe it's your children, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your property, maybe it's your investments, maybe it's whatever. It can be all kinds of things. But if the devil can find something that he can hook up to, that if he takes it away from you, you are going to be offended, guess where you're going to have problems? In that particular area. You're going to have problems there. Because the enemy will poke at that particular spot. Until you give up. If there's something that the enemy will generate an offense in, he will generate it there. That's why, child of God, you must not let the devil know what irks you. Because if he knows it, that's exactly where he's going to go at. How many of you watched boxing before wrestling? Yeah? You've watched boxing, wrestling. If a wrestler just got hit on his left knee, and he's dragging that left knee, what do you think the opponent is going to be doing? Trying to hit him on his head? That left knee. You know, whatever it is that you can hit me any which way you want, I'm going for the left knee, because if I can get that left knee to hurt some more, I might win this thing. So, what is it? This guy did not have a weak left knee or a blind eye or whatever. Every form of offense that could come his way came his way. But he did not buy into any of it. Because the one thing he wanted, I want to go in there and worship him. just like everybody else. I want my own testimony. I want my own breakthrough. 40 years, I'm coming in. It's 40 years. Huh? Over 40 years. It's in there, I know. What? Chapter 4? 4:22? Okay, I trust my pastors to help me today. Praise the Lord. Yes, it says, for the man was about 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Thank you very much. About 40 years. The word the Lord gave to me to bring to you today is very simple. Very simple. It is this. God says, the days of carrying you are over. Amen? Amen? No more carrying, because now you are going to walk with your own two legs. Amen. The day of depending on this person is going this, and this person is going that, and this person is going this, and this person. God says, over. Hallelujah. That, this word is for somebody. The ones that are carrying an offense, this word is not for you. This word is for somebody that's made a decision that the breakthrough that God has promised them must happen in their lives. We're at 40. Hallelujah. God said it's crossover. Glory be to God. I'm not going to stay at the beautiful gate. I'm going to be Mr. Beautiful. Walking. Leaping and praising God. And guess what? Guess what the people did not see? The Bible says they saw him walking and praising God. How can you miss leaping? Because people just want you, they don't like you leaping. Because leaping is you coming to the conclusion that anything is possible now. I can do anything. Now, people may call that arrogance or pride or whatever else, but that's a lie. It's your confidence in the word of God that God has given to you. You are confident and you are bold to declare the will of God in your life and say, I am coming, devil, back off. You've kept me out of this place for too long. I'm coming in and I'm going to stay in here. Amen. Do you think that guy went home quickly? No. I think when he came into that church, that synagogue, that temple, he just sat down there and he looked at everything. Hey, look at this. Wow. Hey, God. Look at, hey, God. Hey, you're distracting everybody. You're making too much noise. Shut up. If you have been kept out of this blessing for so long and you are in here, you'll be shouting like me. It must be the fact that you have not experienced anything yet. That's why you're not shouting, because if you've experienced God, you'll be screaming. Yes. Nobody knows why you are dancing. Nobody knows why you are leaping, but you know your story. And God is about to surprise somebody in this house. Hallelujah. He set his mind to it. I don't know who you are, but I came to announce it to you. And I step into that same grace right now. Hallelujah. Because the man was about 40 years old. And I've been in ministry for 40 years. Plus, it's got to be for me. Days of sitting at the beautiful gate and watching everybody go in. Yes. Over for me. Yes. Hallelujah. What about you? What about you? You're going to be part of the inside group or the outside group? Oh, arms. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the arms. But you know what? All I have collected as my arms are now my investment. I'm going to make things happen. I'm going to be the one giving arms. No more arms for me. I'll give now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some people just want to sit down there and receive. They'd never want to be the givers. But the reason you're able to give is because you have. Someone say, I am a haver. Is that a word? We made up a word. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I have. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Now I'll conclude with this. I should have concluded a long time ago, but let me conclude with this. In life, and please listen to what I'm about to say to you now, because it's extremely important. We need to be discerning. In life, I don't have time to show you all the characters in here concerning what I'm about to say to you. But in life, every one of us has some kind of a companion. We have companions. And they fall into three major areas. The first area of importance, and most likely the most important of these three areas, is the one that you may call a confidant. This is a person that you're able to talk to. This is a person that will go to bat for you. This is a person that you can bear your heart with, and you know they are not going to abuse your secrets. Everybody needs that person. It's a person that you can share your heart. You know, if you want to cry, you can cry before them, and you know they will be there. They will work with you. They will help you, and they will celebrate with you. They will cry with you. The people that carried this man, I'm sure some of these people were confident. He could share with them. Then there's a second group. And some other day I'm going to spend time building on these thoughts for you. There's a second group. This group is a group that I call your constituents. Politicians know about constituents. These are the people that you vote for because of what you agree with them concerning. They're not about you in particular. They're about what you believe about, what you agree in your thought patterns with. These people will hang around you for as long as their interest is being satisfied. And as soon as they find somebody else that they can associate with for their own personal agendas, they will leave you behind. Now I'm sharing these three things with you because you're going to encounter these three people as you cross over this year. And then the final group are the people I call comrades. A comrade is somebody who is not necessarily for what you are for. They are more about with you concerning what you are against. These are the people that are more like activists. They are comrades. They will fight with you. You know, it doesn't matter what you believe for yourself, but you believe this. You are against euthanasia, okay? I'm against euthanasia too. So I'll join with you so we can fight that. But as soon as you finish fighting that battle, adios. You understand? Okay. Now, please hear what I'm going to say to you now. You don't want to tell comrades your dreams and your visions because they are totally uninterested. You don't want to tell your constituents your dreams and your vision because they will carry whatever it is that you tell them and will find somebody or some way to do that without you. The only person that you can tell your whole heart to is somebody that you know you can have confidence in, that will protect you, that will speak the truth to you, that will help you. They are totally about you before they are about the project. They will give whatever they need to give to you and give themselves. They first of all give themselves before they give anything. Did you hear what I said? I'm going to pray that God will bring those kind of people into our lives because ultimately they are the people that help you cross over successfully. They give you their heart, they give you their person, and then they give you their resources. They will sell anything to make you succeed because your success is what they define as their success. Do you understand? Every man of God, every woman of God, every person that God has called with a plan and a purpose and a destiny needs somebody like that. They will never quit on you. Mm-mm. You can push them and say, get away from me. They will never quit on you. That's Elisha and Elijah. When Elijah called Elisha, you know what Elisha did? He killed all his animals. He killed all his animals. Killed all of them. Sacrificed them. And followed the guy. He said, I have nothing to lose. I'm staying with you. When the man said, stay here in Gilgal. He said, not on your life. I'm with you. Stay in Bethel. I'm with you. Jericho. I'm with you. He crossed over, says, what do you want, man? I want a double portion of your spirit. He didn't say anointing, he says your spirit. In other words, I want to be with you for the rest of my life. And actually, I want two of you. Two of you. Do you understand? That's a confidant. Totally sold out. May God raise up confidence in this house that will help us accomplish the vision of God. Amen? Hallelujah. The others help you for a moment. They play their roles. But confidence you need. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Rise with me.